Trinity the Tuck Taylor stood out from all the other girls on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, not just because she's a fierce pageant queen, but because of her enthusiasm for the show's insane premise and her wicked sense of humor.
Fans already know what a brilliantly sassy diva Trinity is from social media, but most people don't dare ask, how did she get the outrageous nickname, The Tuck?
Today, Trinity The Tuck Taylor kikis with us from her champagne, red M&M, and red rose-filled dressing room about her wild ride on RuPaul's Drag Race, and having her name come out of Chris Pine's pretty mouth on Saturday Night Live.
Plus, which of her fellow contestants drove her up the wall?
Who are the front runners to watch on All Stars 3?
And what every queen should know about surviving RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Attention all non-basic queens. Attention all non-basic queens. Show how fierce and fabulous you are with our drag queen-inspired t-shirts.
Reading is fundamental.
Hunty.
The shade is strong with this one.
And Shantae. Fabulous fashion for guys and gals with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Available at feastoffun.com/store.
Hello, is this Trinity the Tuck Taylor?
It is. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Trinity. It's Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun. How are you doing today?
Hi, boys. How are you?
Hey, are you talking to us on your speakerphone?
Yes. You want me to take it off?
Yes, please.
Is that better?
Oh, much better.
Much better.
Oh, okay. A little bit closer.
A little closer.
Come a little bit closer, don't be shy. I love that you said on Twitter, there are two things I like to talk about the most, dick and plastic surgery, but sometimes I like to talk about dick and plastic surgery at the same time.
Well, those are two of my favorite things.
How did your nickname, The Tuck, come to be?
Actually, I have a really good friend from Alabama, where I'm from originally.
Yeah.
Who, right after the show was filmed, before it was released, I worked with her, and she's like, I'm going to start calling you The Tuck. And she introduced me that night as The Tuck, and it just stuck. The Tuck stuck.
But all those teas.
You could have had any nickname. She must have been very impressed. And we've watched your tutorial on how to do a tuck job, which brilliantly and miraculously you override the censors on YouTube.
Well, she has a disclaimer for educational purposes.
No, I've learned from that already. I did a music video with one of my friends where we had a parody of Applause by Lady Gaga called Schlong. And we released that video and YouTube took it down, but then we put it back up with a disclaimer and they let it stay. So I learned the hard way on that one.
Have you guys seen your videos get demonetized this past year? It's pretty much like everything that's LGBT has been knocked out of the ability to make money on YouTube.
Really? No, yeah. I didn't know that. That's stupid.
Or maybe you might not have noticed because, you know, you're swimming in all that drag race money now.
Oh, yeah, I'm just too busy. I haven't been able to pay attention to that. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. What's your friend's name? Who gave you the nickname?
Her name is Genesis.
Genesis. Genesis, yes. Said, this is The Tuck. Did people then introduce you not as Trinity Taylor, but just as The Tuck?
No, it was Trinity The Tuck Taylor. Now, I don't think everybody... It's been a slow process as I changed over all of my... Right before the announcement of the cast for season 9, I changed over all of my social media to Trinity The Tuck. So when the show was announced and the cast was announced, that's how the public who didn't know me before, they were introduced to me immediately as The Tuck. And, you know, with staying relevant in the business after your season is over, you have to have a gimmick or you have to have a brand. And so that's why I stuck with The Tuck.
So your brand is dicks and plastic surgery.
Yep, yeah, exactly. It's very memorable.
Well, listen, it was your sense of humor and your outrageousness paid off. Saturday Night Live did a skit where Chris Pine mentioned you by name.
I know. I was kind of shocked. I'm like, they didn't even, they said RuPaul's Drag Race. They didn't say any other queen, not even RuPaul, other than me. So well, it was kind of crazy.
Was anybody else worth mentioning? I don't think so.
Well, you know, the Tuck is famous.
Well, so when Chris Pine said your name, and then I think on Access Hollywood interviewed you about that, and you were like, well, I'd have to see what I'm working with if I... What did you say about
well,
that?
Well, they asked him, like, would you tuck him or something, right?
Oh, yeah, and I would. Hello? Who wouldn't?
We saw your boyfriend, though, on television. He can hold a candle up to Chris Pine pretty nicely.
Oh, I don't think Chris Pine could measure up to my boyfriend anyway, but that's a different story.
Do tell.
It'd be more like do show.
Oh, okay. Well, I looked on your YouTube talking with a tuck. You offered Aja to suck your boyfriend's dick. I'm like, you guys are really close. Isn't that nice? She offered Aja to suck her boyfriend's dick.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Southern belle. We were taught to share.
Aren't you afraid she wouldn't give him back?
Oh, no, I'm not too worried about Aja. I've toured with Aja. The way Aja is with men, she goes through them like a candy machine. So I'm not worried about her.
I imagine that when you get on RuPaul's Drag Race, the experience is very different than what you've imagined in your head.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what you're getting yourself into till you're there and you're actually experiencing it. Even with, like, knowing people that have been on the show before and they tell you how it is, you still don't know what you're getting into until you're there and you're in the situations.
What was the biggest surprise for you?
That the workroom and the stage was really freaking cold. I'm talking about, like, you freeze your balls off. Well, what would be there? Yeah, it's brutal.
Your tuck has icicles.
And 9 times out of 10, I didn't wear clothes, so silicone doesn't keep you warm. Let me just tell you.
Did they keep it so cold just to kind of like keep you on your toes? Was it because the lights get really hot? Was there some kind of reason? Is it part of their whole torture mechanism of like sleep deprivation, freeze you, put you under hot lights?
Humiliation.
No, I think it's more so the fact that we're men with a lot of makeup on and they don't want us to sweat for TV. That's probably the reason.
You've done pageants before and you're quite a seasoned competitor. Was this any different?
In some ways, in a lot of ways, yes. But in some ways, it was very much... Drag Race is just a big pageant. That's what it is. It has different categories. There is a winner. There is a runner-up. You have to think quick on your feet, just like a pageant. But there are a lot of differences, too. Drag Race is very... different in a lot of ways in a pageant. But I would say that going through pageants has definitely helped me when I was there.
How so?
I think thinking quick on my feet, being polished, being able to rise to their challenges that they had. Even if I've never done some of the challenges, I still was able to adapt fairly quickly.
Yeah, you really seem to enjoy the process of being on the show. Even like going into the finale, you're like, if I'm gonna lip sync against somebody, I want it to be a real challenge. Like, you really went for it.
Well, coming from pageants, I didn't want to win if I wasn't the best. I didn't ever want it to be that girl who people were like, oh, she didn't win, why did she win? Because that's the worst way to win.
You talking about Charlie?
Well, nobody's going to say that about her anyway. There was no way she was going to beat me in that lip sync. So that's just she was a dead fish on the stage. But
poor Charlie,
dead fish,
a dead fish. Now I love, and don't get me wrong, I actually do love Charlie. Charlie is very witty. Charlie is an amazing entertainer. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to show what he's good at on the show. He wasn't there long enough. Yeah. But
he psychs himself out of a lot of good experiences. I'm starting to discover
he could have went a lot further, and I actually thought he was going to go very far.
Yeah, we've had him on the podcast before and talked to him about his career. You know, because we fell in love with the content that he was making online, and so would have been great to see more of that kind of Charlie.
Yeah, for sure, definitely for sure. maybe he'll get another chance.
But I feel there's still kind of a animosity towards pageant queens of fans of RuPaul's Drag Race. There's a little bit of a hesitation to embrace the pageant girls, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. People that watch the show, their only exposure to drag is through Drag Race. They want to say that they're open-minded to all different types of drag, and, you know, they embrace the odd, the weird, the unconventional drag. But when it comes to traditional drag, what drag mainly used to be and what's considered old school drag, pageant drag, glamour drag, they kind of like are standoffish because they think that it's not an elevated type of drag. I think they think it's boring. It's too old school or something without, you know, taking into consideration that it's illusion drag. It is a very valid part of drag culture, and it's really where drag came from.
Mm-hmm. It's female impersonation.
Yeah, it's female impersonation. Drag Race fans are amazing and are horrible all at the same time. They're very particular to their person that they're following, and they hate everybody else. it's kind of crazy. The Drag Race fans are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you even tweeted recently too, is like, stop comparing any queen, bitch. We did drag before the show, 14 years. No, I'm not like so and so. I'm Trinity Taylor, ho. And it does seem like, yeah, it does seem to be, it's kind of a common complaint, is like the fans of the show pit other drag queens against each other, saying you're trying to imitate this person, you're copying this person, you look like this person, instead of justifying their own identity.
Well, you know, they just don't realize that, or maybe they're just not thinking clearly. I have no idea, but they think that just because I have silicone in my cheeks and Chad has silicone in her cheeks, that our drag is identical. Chad and I are nothing alike as entertainers. Chad is a character impersonator, like a celebrity impersonator. I don't do celebrity impersonations. I am a body queen. Chad doesn't do anything with her body. The only things that we have similar is that we have silicone in our cheeks. That is it. That is all, folks. We're not even similar in age.
Talking to other queens who have been on Drag Race before the move to VH1, has there been a change in the audience interaction? Has that been better or worse?
Oh, for sure. The change to, don't get me wrong, I love the Logo Network. I think it's been a great step for the LGBT community. But Drag Race changing over to VH1 has been an amazing thing for the show, because VH1 is in way more homes than Logo.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot more exposure for the show, and the more the show gets exposure, the more relevant all of the queens that have ever been on the show are.
It makes you feel sorry for Bob the drag queen who won just before that move.
I don't feel sorry for that bitch. She won.
Yeah, but not on a big station. Well, did you know, like, during your recording that it was going to be on VH1, or did you guys find out later on?
Oh, no, we didn't find out until after, like, till right before it happened. Till right before it aired. Yeah, when we were there, everything was Logo. Everything was Logo.
And you must have been just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Who are your sort of like closest friends on the show while you were taping the series? Like, who did you really bond with?
I didn't like any of those bitches on the show.
Really? That's honest, yeah. Who was most annoying? Who really wrecked your nerve?
Well, obviously Eureka. I just couldn't stand Eureka. I couldn't stand Valentina on the show. I couldn't stand Farrah on the show.
Let's talk about Valentina. Like, why was she so despised by the other contestants? Because she seemed like she was lovely watching it on television.
Well, yeah, of course she was lovely watching it on television, because you get the edited version.
Yeah.
the thing with Valentina is, on the show, you know, we didn't know Valentina. So yeah. None of us, hardly any of us knew each other going into the show. So we were, it's all on face value of what somebody presents in front of you. And she was a diva. I'm telling you, a diva. At one point, she had 4 assistants from the show bronzing her. while we wait in this line, waiting on her to go to the runway.
Oh.
And we're late because of her. So it was stuff like that constantly that she did that was annoying.
You're saying that she was needy and she was selfish.
Very, very. But getting to know her after the show, I love her. I love her. I love all the girls. The only girl that I still, you know, I go back and forth with is Eureka. I actually like her a lot more now. We've talked since the show. Mm. I like the Eureka when Eureka is not trying to be stage Eureka.
Yeah. What does that mean? What do you mean?
Well, she's just a different person when it's one-on-one.
So when you're having like a private conversation with her, she's fine. But when she's putting on a performance, you think like she's a jerk?
Well, I think she's just putting on a performance.
Mm.
She strikes you as insincere. She strikes you like she's not listening to you. She's
right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't like the fact that she, some girls like, okay. So for example, some of the phrases that I said on the show, I don't even remember saying, and they become like big catchphrases. Well, I felt like she had like planned out and forced down people's throats her catchphrases.
Oh.
And like that, it just seems insincere and disingenuous. Not just that, but that's just one example. Mm-hmm. But when Eureka is just herself, I find her a lot more likable.
Mm. You know, it's funny you say that about the catchphrases, because it reminds me of Willem tells a story, because, you know, he did that song Rupologize, right? He also mentioned it like on the finale, and like Rue loved it. And he's just like, I said that in the workroom like 6 times because I really wanted it to catch on, and it never made it into the show. So you're saying that that's like a common tactic for the girls to like, I'm coming in here with all my witty little phrases. I'm just going to say them over and over again, and hopefully they get caught on.
Yeah, like Aja was another example of someone who had pre-planned catchphrases that they wanted on the show.
What were some of
them?
Thing is, do you remember?
I don't even remember.
Were they stupid?
They were stupid. The thing is people want something sincere. Like when I said I call shade, girl, I had never said I call shade in my life before that moment, and never after until I watched the show, and they made a huge deal out of the I call shade. And then now it's it's one of my most talked about phrases. So, but it's just stuff like that. You don't want to go in there with something pre-planned. You want to go with a clear mind and a competitor mindset, and just do your best, and whatever happens is going to happen.
Mm. You know, when you said that I call shade, I have to say it was probably one of my favorite moments from the show, because it was like you were in drag court and you're like, Your Honor, I call shade.
Well, yeah. I mean, at that moment, I was like, this fucking bitch has thrown me under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're no stranger to shade yourself, and you're, you know, talking with the tuck, you say to pheromone. So when did you decide you like highlighters so much?
And for people who are not familiar with pheromone, she's a Las Vegas queen who really likes to make her cheeks just shine. Mm-hmm. Almost like reflective material.
And going, like, if you look at her straight on, it looks fantastic. But then, like, when she turns to the side, the illusion kind of gets lost, right?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, she puts on a pound of highlighter. I mean, it's literally like crushed up glass just smeared on her cheeks. It is a lot. It's a lot of highlight. And look, hey, whatever. She's a beautiful queen. Mm. Whatever works for you.
Psychologically, it was intense to go through this contest on television. And you know, we had a friend, James Mansfield, be on the show, and seeing James sitting there, you know, with the other queens, especially in Untucked, I could see him kind of like going in, like into his own head, and just sort of like questioning everything. Am I doing this right? And on television, you know, you just look unhappy. You look like you're, you know, don't want to be there. I mean, did you pick up on that from the other queens, like Nina or James, who are sort of like very anxious about their time there?
Oh, for sure. Actually, the cheerleading challenge, we were doing rehearsals for it, and I was sitting in the floor on one of our breaks next to James, and she was just lost. Like she was like looking down. She like was a kind of teary eyed. She wasn't crying, but like she just looked like really upset. And I was like, what's going on, girl? And she's like, I just don't think I'm doing my best. And I tried to give her a pep talk, but when somebody is in their head like that, there's nothing you can do or say to change their mind. They have to either snap out of it themselves, or they're going to sabotage themselves, which is what happened. I think James, the moment she walked in the workroom and realized her gimmick with the puppet wasn't going over well, she immediately sunk into herself. And then from that moment on, she just gave up, basically.
Poor girl. Listen, she's doing quite well now with those YouTube videos of hers. And really, like,
she's an amazing entertainer. She's amazing. She could have done a lot more if she would have just believed in herself a little bit more.
Well, part of it is that they cast people who are sort of not ready for that experience in order to sort of showcase somebody who is ready. You know, and certainly, like, the producers did everything they could to sabotage you.
They absolutely know what they're doing to create an amazing show. Now it's up to you to deal with it, and that's why, you know, whoever makes it to the end, they are really on their shit, because you have to jump through hoops. You have to dodge bullets. You have to all these things emotionally, mentally, physically, to get to the end. And I'm telling you, by the end, you are exhausted. You are exhausted.
With the photo shoot that they did of the entire cast and all these different colors, you showed up wearing something completely different, and they just basically put that blue dress on from scraps off the floor. Is that the
Are you talking about for our promo?
The promo shoot, yeah.
No. So they all said we need you to come in. We want these kind of colors. Like, they gave us examples. I told them what color I was going to come in, which wasn't blue. It was like a teal color. Mm-hmm. So I brought the outfit that they shown. I did bring that, but I brought different pieces to go with it, and I brought two other outfits that I wanted to wear. Well, when I got there, they have stylists there who basically edit what you wear. And I had this amazing ostrich feather coat that I was going to wear with it, which would have, and it was like bright turquoise. Mm. So it broke up the colors more. Then when I got there, they're like, you're not wearing that. You're going to wear this. You're going to wear that. They changed my shoes. They changed the styling of my hair, and when they edited the picture, they changed the colors to more of a blue color versus a teal color, because, and I'm thinking, this is the mindset I'm thinking, is because they already had two other people, which was Peppermint and James, in a teal, so they had to change somebody's to look different, so there wasn't so much, and they chose mine to look darker, and it just wasn't flattering. It just wasn't flattering.
It made you look a little bit like a space alien, or I mean, I liked it, but it was very different from the rest of your looks of the season.
Well, I brought with me something pretty naked that showed my body, and they were just like, nope, we're not going to use that. We're going to use this. So I was like, well, but you know what? It is what it is. I don't think they did it to sabotage me. I think they did it thinking that was the best for the cast photo. And it is what it is. You know, you got to move on from that. It is what it is.
I read somewhere online that, like, since the photo was first emerged, that it had been edited like several times thereafter. Is there any truth to that?
I am not sure. I just know that the colors that it shows when they released it are not the colors that it looks like in person. Mm. So it was a lot more blue in the picture that they showed. A lot more, like, my outfit had many like the hair, for example, had three different shades of blue. It went from a light blue to a turquoise to a deep teal. And in the picture, it just looks like blue. Mm, just one solid blue blob.
Now, in the lip sync finale, they did something different. They spun a wheel, wasn't it? And they had you choose who you would lip sync against.
Right.
And you chose Peppermint.
Right.
Because you wanted to make it hard for yourself.
Well, not that I wanted to make it hard for myself, but my mindset was, okay, if I'm going to lip sync against somebody and win, I want to lip sync against the best lip syncer out of the four of us, which was definitely Peppermint. The two lip syncs that she had on the show were amazing. And if going into the final two, I wanted to beat her.
How are you guys able to watch people lip syncing when you're standing at the back of the stage, though?
Well, ours was first, and then since I was eliminated, I immediately went into the crowd with the other girls from my season. Okay. So I was able to watch the lip syncs. Yes.
And was that a good strategy in hindsight? I mean, are you happy with the way it went down?
Well, obviously, I'm not happy with the way it went down. I thought I beat Peppermint. I thought I beat Peppermint in the lip sync, even though she had a reveal. It wasn't, you know, to me, her reveal was not amazing. Mm-hmm. It just was a stunt. You know what I mean? But that's my opinion. Obviously, they thought something different. But even watching it back from the show, I thought I was a clear winner of that. But would I have chosen someone else? No, I definitely would have done exactly what I did, because that was the best decision.
What'd you think about Sasha Velour sort of upstaging Shea Coulee with those rose petals? And I guess like Valentina telling her fans to send roses.
Yeah.
Roses seem to be like this kind of a very powerful symbol this season.
Well, Valentina would have seen that thing before it was released, right? And then because she saw it live. Yeah. And then she's like, send the queen roses. So she kind of in some ways let the cat out of the bag, right? It's a cunt move.
I think that a lot of girls this season are very pre-planned. They know exactly what they're doing. Valentina being one of them. To answer your question, what did I think about that lip sync? I thought, you know, Sasha was amazing. Sasha was the only one that didn't lip sync in the season. And so nobody knew what she was capable of. So when she did it, it was a shock. Now, I will say, like, the lip sync between her and Peppermint was way more lackluster. There wasn't that much excitement. But the rose petals were such a shock. It didn't matter who would have went up against her in that moment. She was going to win.
Because they're also like blood. Like, her brains were spilling out of her wig.
Mm.
She's just a very conceptual, very artistic thinker. And that when you're in those kind of situations, that works very well to your advantage.
It's nice to see an intellectual drag queen make it far in RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Sasha is amazing.
So Trinity, you have an amazing career ahead of you and behind you. And you're behind. And you're planning, I guess you're touring with the drag fans this holiday season. You're going all over the country in the naughty Christmas tour.
Well, I just finished a tour with them for the season 9 tour, and now we're going back on the road for the naughty Christmas tour. And it's 30 cities. You can go get your tickets at dragfans.com. Check out Murray and Peter Presents Instagram for all the dates. Actually, I think you can get the dates on dragfans.com as well. But MP Present is their Instagram to look up all the dates and get your tickets there. It's going to be amazing. It's not just season 9 queens. There's a bunch of girls from many different seasons. And when I tell you, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a heck of a lot of fun. You have Kim Chi, Shea Coulee, Latrice Royale, Sasha Velour, Shishi, Eureka, Roxy, Milk, Aja, Naomi. What drag queens aren't in this?
For real.
There's some amazing talent. It's just going to be just insane. I know what I'm doing for my number is just different. I'm embracing the comedy aspect that I've found through the show that I love. And it's going to be fun, probably offend people, and very holiday spirit.
Is it an original song you're lip syncing to, or is it something?
She's hosting it.
Oh, you're
hosting? Yeah, I'm hosting, okay. But I'm doing a number as well. But no, it is. I'm not a singer, so singing, making up an original song is probably, unless it's a parody, is probably not going to be something that I do.
It hasn't held any of your sisters back, let me tell you.
No, trust, I know. But I'm doing a very well-known Christmas song, but it's going to be done in a very different way.
Okay. They just released the cast from All Stars 3. Are you rooting for anybody in particular? Are you looking to see like anybody like fight with each other?
Of course I want to see the drama. Hello. Mm-hmm. I even though I've been on the show, I'm still a huge fan of Drag Race. Am I rooting for anyone in particular? I like a lot of the girls that, well, I don't, there's a couple that I've yet to meet, but almost all of those I love. And I would love to see any of them win. It just depends on who's going to really bring it. I've heard rumors here and there, but it's going to be an exciting All-Stars from what I've heard.
Mm. It's going to be tough to beat Shangela, I have to say, although I think Trixie Mattel could do it.
You think?
Yeah, it's Trixie and Shangela's battle.
Well, and the other thing, too, is World of Wonder, the production company that makes this, also is producing Trixie's other television show, so why not crown the person who you've already invested money into, you know, to be, invest more into their career. But we'll see. Maybe Shangela will get her own TV show.
You're right, but what you also need to take into consideration is that when you're in these kind of situations, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And if they do it how they did the last season, the girls get to pick who goes home. So,
Oh, that's right. The lipstick thing that's why they called Alaska the snake. Yep. What nickname will Trixie Mattel get this season?
Mm.
She's going to be the
poor bitch.
We want to invite you to come on Cooking with Drag Queens. We've had Trixie Mattel on the series making tofu pad thai. And it's a heck of a lot of fun here in Chicago. We follow you around with video cameras and make up a hot, delicious meal or dessert in our kitchen, along with some very mouth-watering cocktails.
Well, yay. I would love to do that, although I'm not a cook, but...
it's a cooking school.
Oh, perfect. I can learn how to finally make box macaroni and cheese.
We make good macaroni and cheese here, and it's, you know what, it's easier to make it without the box. I'll send you a little link to it, and you'll be like, oh my God, you can make macaroni and cheese like this, and it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
We discovered a method that you just basically put the box pasta, the hard shells, into the pan, and you pour chicken broth into that, or vegetable broth if you want to make it vegetarian, and you throw the cheese into the pan, no separate boiling, nothing, and it comes out creamy and delicious.
And it's so wonderful.
Wow.
Yes, that sounds yummy. It's a fabulous feast for all the senses, Cooking with Drag Queens. We want you on the show.
I will come. I will do it. I'm so down.
Okay. Awesome.
Trinity, the Tuck Taylor, I feel like we just untucked you just a little bit. We want to get the whole 9 inches.
Oh.
That was very specific.
It was, well, that's a phrase that Mae West says. No, what she said?
That's T.S. Madison.
Oh, yes, that's right. T.S. Madison.
You can't, they're the same person. They're definitely the same person.
Very much so.
We're actually cooking with T.S. Madison just in a couple of weeks. Any tips on what we should make with her?
I don't know. I just, from what I've heard, she probably could do some amazing foot-long hoagie sandwiches.
She's a heck of a lot of fun, and so are you. We absolutely adore you. I absolutely, it was such a nice discovery to find somebody with such a irreverent sense of humor and such a strong performer on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race. We really appreciate all the fun stuff you post on the internet. It's really, you're really doing fantastic.
And your enthusiasm for drag is just, it's contagious.
Well, I appreciate it. I love to dress up in women's panties. I do.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
Trinity the Tuck Taylor lives in Orlando, Florida. Check her out with the drag queens touring the country at dragfans.com. This Christmas, a drag queen Christmas, the Naughty Tour is coming to your town, honey. Check it out. Wasn't she so much fun?
She was a delight, and I was really looking forward to talking to her, because, like I told her, it's like she really just was enthusiastic the whole season. She was into it, because, you know, it's one of the problems I have with the show. Sometimes I know that the girls are under a lot of stress, so I can understand that, because it's all happened to all of us. We've kind of broken down, but she just really always, like, kept together. It was just like, we're getting through this. We're going to make it.
I can't think of any other contest, game show, reality television program where the people involved have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to participate in.
Mm.
Right? So every drag queen of their own pocket, they have to invest all this money in these costumes that they may get eliminated first or second in the show, and you know, they'll be able to use them on tour, but ultimately it's still a significant amount of money.
It's an investment. Now, I think Kim Chi was just quoted as saying, if you want to go out for your first time in drag, you don't have anything and you have to go out shopping, you need to buy everything, you're going to spend about $600.
That's a fair amount of money.
And that's a fair amount of money if you want to look good. I mean, of course, you can just throw on a bra and panties and, you know, and a shake and go wig and be like, I'm in drag. And it's like, yes, you are.
Is that what you do, Daphne?
I take a lot of time and care into what I do.
Sure,
and I resent you saying
that. Well, and part of it is like when you're, you know, dressing up in drag, even if you've been dressing up in drag in the past, the clothes may not fit you. You may have a different desire for something else. And you're trying on different outfits and you order, you know, things off of Amazon Prime doesn't fit you when it arrives in the mail. And that can
those
be
five X's from China.
So the point I'm making is that being on that show can be very stressful. And so sometimes if the queens look like they're like, hurry up and get me off the show so I can be famous, you know, part of it is they're having a lot of anxiety because they invested so much to be there. Mm. And then, of course, when they get there, they realize this is a television program, not an infomercial for me. As a drag queen. An infomercial for the drag queen, that's Cooking with Drag Queens. We actually go and get a camera and we film the queens and we follow them around and you know, get them at their very best.
Well, except for, you know, because we did make our funding goal and we're at our stretch goal, so we will have a competition this season. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Remember when I said Cooking with Drag Queens is not a competition? I lied. And it's going to be, it's quite exciting. We have a lot in store. You guys can, if you've discovered our podcast, you can subscribe to Cooking with Drag Queens on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/feastoffun. And of course, this podcast is available on iTunes. Just search Feast is Fun as well.
I want to remind people, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today, because your contribution, your subscription to this show is what makes this show happen. We really, truly couldn't do it without you. Thank you.
And where do they go to do that?
Oh, at feastoffun.com/plus.
That's right, folks. You can access 14 years.
We'll be in our 14th year of podcasting come January.
14 years of in-depth interviews with LGBT artists and entertainers, from RuPaul to Trinity the Tuck Taylor and beyond. So all your favorite drag queens bearing their hearts and their souls, giving their origin stories, and showing you a little different side of who they are. Only available at feastoffun.com and nowhere else. So check it out. I want to thank everybody for listening to today's show. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.